memory of the 10-year anniversary of the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham.
What murdered these four girls? The apathy and the complacency of many Negroes who will sit down on their stools of do-nothing and not engage in creative protest to get rid of this evil system.
One person willing to speak the truth when it's not popular. This is what happens when God shows up.
A man was trying to explain to his wife why they had to pay what they had to pay in taxes. So they're talking numbers a little bit. He's kind of the numbers guy. She maybe not so much. So he's trying to explain it to her, and he says to her, do you understand percentages? Well, she said, maybe in a different way than you do, but I think I do. Well, tell me about it. Well, she says, I do know that 25% off. I know what that means. That's a good that's a good deal, 25% off. Isn't that right? That 25% is a good deal? Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. She said, and I know that 50% off is free. I mean, excuse me? She said, well, if it's 50% off, it's the same thing as buying one and getting one free. So it's free. Okay, and then she said, and by the way, if it's 75% off, yes, you're actually making money. You know, we're funny about money and figures and prices and costs in general in this world, but I think even in the Christian life, in the Christian faith. Many people have different definitions of the price we're called to pay, you know, and we can get really led many different directions and not really have a clear call and understanding what it is to love God and love people and be willing to sacrifice for God and for people. And why is that so important? So we're talking these days about the unity of the church and the world. We have the world's attention when we intentionally go across boundaries, socioeconomic differences, racial differences, religious background differences. When you intentionally go across that barrier that the world says you're not supposed to kind of be together, but yet it's love that's drawn you together. You're a brother and a sister and God's your father. And the world has to see and go, they love each other. What's up with them? That's what Jesus said from the beginning. It's the only way to define if you're a disciple of Christ. They'll know you're following me by your love. Especially, again, when you understand, finally, that, you know, loving somebody doesn't mean you have to agree on everything. You don't have to be twins to be my brother. So we're different than every person, but it's when you even intentionally move against those barriers that can keep you from other people that God, that's when God can really begin to work. So that's why I think it's real appropriate we just take a time out in this series and talk today about that big picture of cost and sacrifice. If the church is going to be united, if it's going to be healthy, as we've talked about all year long, every one of us are going to be called to make those kinds of sacrifices and show that kind of love and pay the price together. And so, glad to talk about that. Before we do, I need to tell you something, that for 30 years at this church, I have had a front row seat watching people serve. I'm inspired by the people of this church. Roy and Rose Ryan will be at the top of the list. They've been here 45 years. And I even found out he used to write checks for the church years ago. And I don't think he even understood percentages, but I think he was writing out the checks. But the point is, they've been serving a long time. The whole time I've been here, they've been serving. So it was last May, I think it was, when they came to prayer and anointing with the elders for healing. She had cancer, and the prognosis was not good. They came together, and they're always laughing. Roy is he's a comedian in many ways. Funny guy. Boy, they were scared. We prayed and anointed with oil, and so yesterday I get this text from Rose. I may have gotten one other text from her in the 30 years, but this one simply said, Roy and I are truly rejoicing today. My latest scan shows the cancer mass in my chest is completely gone. Amen. And then she said, She said, in May, Roy and I met with you and the elders for prayer and anointing, and just want to let you know, God heard our prayer in this way, and we're just so thankful. And tomorrow night, the elders will be in the Point at 6 o'clock, and we will be there to pray and anoint. Because, you know, sometimes God heals us, and we get better. Sometimes we don't get better. But if we belong to Christ, we get more than better. We become perfect. Like Paul said, if I live or I die, I'm the Lord's. And so probably every one of us have had good times and bad times with our prayers. Answers we are glad about, answers we're not so happy about. But God's the same through all of it. And he has his reasons and his ways. And sometimes he just shows up in ways that we have to know it's the hand, the miraculous hand of God. So we never take our eyes off the same power that raised Christ is available to us today. And so today I want to pray that for us. And come tomorrow night for anointing with the elders, but all of us stop right now and let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads with me in the Point and in the center? Kind Father, you know, when we come to you now in prayer, I'm going to guess that most of us have experiences in prayer, and either we ask it a certain way and you didn't answer the way we wanted, and so we maybe bailed on it, not sure, maybe even whether you exist, God. We cannot hear your voice. We've never heard your voice. We've never seen you with our eyes. And others have prayed a prayer, and it was the manifestation of a clear answer, a miracle you performed. And so many people say, that's when I knew I had to start following Christ. But through it all, we learn as we grow and mature that life is full of joy and difficulty. It's full of happiness. It's full of sadness. But there's this thing the Bible talks about called joy, that in all things we can have joy. Joy doesn't mean happy. It's not based on happenings. Joy is based on knowing you're present with us, even in the darkest hour. So God, I pray for every single soul in the center and the Point right now. You know each one by name. You know some who are in grief because of the loss of someone they love, or some injustice has happened to them. And I just pray, God, you'll come to them and that they'll be drawn to you in your love and mercy, but also that we'll all step up to the challenge you lay before us, that you were sacrificed for us, and so you want us to do the same. Because when we do that, when we give up something we love for someone we love more, other people, different than us perhaps, and you, the world takes note that we follow you. So may we hear what we need to hear and then give us the Spirit's power to do what we just know we need to do. That you might be honored in our lives and through our lives. And that's our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, let's start kind of with the first sermon Jesus gave. He only preached for 3 years publicly, you know. And so he was 30 years of age when he began preaching. And he taught this sermon known as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Let's look at the first chapter, first few words he gave in this sermon. Verse 10, just up front, he tells them, like out of the gate here, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. There's nothing that's blessed about being persecuted if you deserve it. Something you do that's not good, right? But when you stand up for God and you go against the grain and you're persecuted for that, the Lord takes note of that. He knows you have given up something and taken a risk to follow him. So there's a big difference, you know, between really sacrificing and just kind of, you know, giving a tip to God or a tip to reaching out to somebody. It really involved effort for you to follow Christ. I like the story, it's an old story of a chicken and a pig, and they're on a Saturday afternoon, they're running through the fields, and they go by a church and packed out, you know, big signs as breakfast, bacon and eggs. It was a fundraiser for a very, very meaningful event. And so the chicken said, I think we ought to help out. That's a worthy cause. And the pig said, no way, man. For you, that's a contribution. For me, that's a total sacrifice. So sometimes we just contribute, sometimes we really sacrifice. So we're talking about sacrifice as a lifestyle. It's not even, this is something you do or something you give. No, it is a lifestyle. All these things are to be a pattern of thinking, living, walking, speaking. And so you want to get to the place where you're following Christ so much, you've learned about Christ so much, you're so drawn to him and you love him and other people so much that sacrificing, putting others ahead of yourself, it becomes natural, a lifestyle that God will use in miraculous ways. And that's his vision for us. So it's not like a big whoop-de-doo. It's a little currents that goes on from time to time just as you live your life. Would you turn to Philippians chapter 1 if you have your Bibles today? We do put the scriptures on this screen in case you don't have your Bible with you today or you need one. We'll be glad to give you one after the service. But we put the scriptures on the screen. There's a sermon notes section in your program as well. You want to jot down some thoughts. And if you're not in a group, we have groups that are meeting and kind of discussing these ideas together through the series. And you can stop at the connection corner to help you to do that. But let's look at Philippians chapter 1. I think we'll learn some things about this as Paul writes from his heart, overwhelmed with the love of God, full of joy. He writes this way. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. You ever seen a calling card? Name, slave of Christ Jesus. That's how you would identify yourself? He does that. What's the idea? We have no assets. We have no freedom. It's been taken away from us. We have no rights at all, no assets. And so it's just us right here. And in other words, when he came to Christ, he said, I give up my rights and my will for the will of God. And so he just continues to flesh that out. So note with me that on your outlines, three, I would call them attributes or characteristics of a sacrificial person. Here they are. Number one, sacrifice is a partnership. Love, that's the image that we are talking about in this series particularly. Partners with brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they are. Look at verse 3 of chapter 1. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with what?
Joy.
For you've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Now, we talked last week about the church and moving toward these areas that are different than ours, and about the church becoming truly diverse, and then it's the beauty that God envisions that, for us as kind of a bunch of broken pieces of glass. We become a beautiful mosaic, as we become just the way we are and diverse as we are, and then God shows up, and that's the image he wants us to have of the church. So we are involved in that very strategically as a church in this city, and there was through some prompting and people knowing we're in trouble in this nation. We need revival like we've never needed revival. No politician, there's not a single politician who can fix what's wrong with our world and our nation. Not a one. But God has one plan. It's plan A. It's the church that will move against these barriers and just represent Christ. And it says when you do that and the world sees it, they just have to sit up and take notice. And so we have been partnering for a few years now with New Era Church, an African-American church primarily. Our students go there, and they serve in the city with students there. And Pastor Clarence and I are really good buddies, and we've traveled around the country together to conferences. And it's just been a special relationship. He's preached here. I've preached there. But coming up these next few weeks, we're going to have two services down at their building, and they invited us to come there. Other churches are invited all over the city, but we both want to be there together. Just jot down the date somewhere this Wednesday, September 21st, from 1 to 4. If in the afternoon you can come for that, please do. It'll be a simulcast with national speakers, Max Licato and Tony Evans and other folks who really will speak to us out of their heart. And then the second week will be Wednesday, October the 5th, from 6 to 8:15. It's really going to be primarily a prayer service. You know what happens when you pray with people? The love just happens when you're praying to people. You can't stay mad at somebody when you're praying for them. You don't run away from each other when you're praying for each other. You're drawn together. It's prayer that draws us together. I really hope that you will join my wife and I down there for these two events, that it's going to change us. Those kind of events, you're never really the same. That's us. Not to mention what can happen in the hearts of people all over our city. So be praying about this initiative, but ongoing lifestyle that we try to grow in Christ. So let's talk about this thing. I mean, why share the gospel? Why partner with people, you know, and you're united together. What I emphasize is you love other people and they love you, so people know we're Christians by our love. Why that? What's that about? What's the goal about? To understand partnership, this partnership we're seeing here, the sacrifice between Paul and that church, it's a great sacrifice that goes on here, but it's not just about money. You think of a partnership, oh, they must have given to his cause. I think they probably gave some money toward his missionary effort, but beyond that, it was not just a financial thing. Number one, now, two reasons to use the word partnership, they're spiritual partners. Now, what do you mean by that? He says, think about this. Every time I think of you, I thank my God for you. All right, there's people in your life, every time you think about them, you just stop and have a prayer. That's a pretty good friendship. It's also a pretty good habit to begin. Ready? Somebody comes to your mind, no matter how you feel about them, how about just stopping to say, let me pray for them. You pray for them. And and if you're thankful for them, that's a wonderful thing. And if you're ticked at them, you say, sick them, Lord. No, you don't. You don't really do that. That wouldn't be very nice or very Christian, would it? Even though you feel that way, just keeping it real, don't do that. You go, my job to love them, it's God's job to change them and change me. Prayer puts us in that place where we ought to be. It's facing the reality of what's really going on in the hearts of people around us and within our own hearts. And when you go to places, when you're generous with people, when you give up something you love for somebody that you love even more, God just uses that and takes you in a place you would never have gone before, and you connect with people you never would have come in contact with before. Now, when we sacrifice this way and put the Lord first, Proverbs 3:9 puts it this way, it's just a natural, it's a lifestyle that we should honor the Lord with our wealth, so there is a financial thing involved here, with the best part of everything that you produce. So I do give money toward causes and missionaries and efforts in the heart of the city to come alongside those who need that kind of love and support and compassion. Paul uses this wording over in the fourth chapter of Philippians, verse 19, this same God who takes care of me, Paul says, is a missionary. He's in prison. He's writing from prison. He'll be killed in prison for his faith. So just don't miss that. This same God who takes care of me, he says, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So he says, just thank you for giving financially. You're the first people who supported this effort of missionary work, and thank you for doing that. But it's not limited to that. It's then the prayer piece. And that's why we want to have a separate week with New Era of just prayer on the 5th. Because as we say, prayer, it builds partnerships. That's just every time when the church exploded, it came out of prayer. I'm going to share an announcement next week with the church family here that will probably be the most impactful announcement I've ever made in the life of this church. But it's always good when God challenges us and grows us and loves us and inspires us. So please make every effort to be here next week. We're going to look at Jonah's life when God calls your name. That's a big part of living that kind of life, isn't it? What do you do when God taps you on the shoulder? He calls you to do something. And you know he's calling you to do something you would never have done years ago. But now he knows you're at a place, just maybe. Would you accept my call? And Jonah had a little difficulty getting following God. And so we'll have some fun with that true story. And then we'll talk about that together. And then we're going to talk about some very visionary things that I think will get you excited about the vision of this church. So make sure you're here to be a part of that. Because we're celebrating spiritual partnerships and the financial partnership in this church here. Well, let's talk about another dimension that's involved here. Sacrifice has a cost. There's a price that's paid with the sacrifice. Wes Stafford, former president of Compassion International, he gave the most interesting definition of the opposite of wealth that I've ever heard. Caught me off guard. What's your definition? The opposite of wealth, what is that? He said it's not the opposite of poverty. The opposite of poverty is not wealth. We would tend to think poverty, the opposite is wealth. He said, no, change that. The opposite of poverty is enough. Somebody who's in poverty, they don't even have enough. If you just have enough, or you're on the other side, where they don't even have the basic needs of their lives met. And then, of course, most of us in this room, in this part of the world, we have more than enough, don't we? And so God blesses us for a reason. with to much has been given, much is required, the scripture says to us. And so sacrifice is that partnership that we just, it moves us in those places where he wants us to move and follow what he wants to do with us. Even though our plan may be very different than his plan is always better. Have you learned that yet? If you hang around long enough, you will learn that you have plans. I'm like Haley, you know, we're going to hear about in a few minutes. She's a planner. I like to plan details, but I changed my whole message next weekend. And the production team hates when I do that. And the worship team hates when I do that. So like I say, it's just been a long process. But sometimes we planned this a year ago, this series and this message. And then just in the middle of it, God just led us a different direction. Said, you know, no, it's just as Jonah. This is Jonah when God calls your name. So we're going to talk about that as we learn and move toward unity and follow his call. Because when we do that, then God's going to do those things that miraculously wouldn't happen in any other way. So this characteristic of the cost, let me use David as an example about that one. King David, highly revered, probably the most ever of all the kings of the Israeli people. But he was very grief-stricken because he messed up. He had sinned. And so the people are suffering, and as the king, he steps up and he says, God, this isn't right. Look at this. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 17. God, he said, I'm the one who called for the census. I mean, I'm the one who has sinned and done wrong. These people, they're as innocent as sheep. What have they done? Oh, Lord, my God, let your anger fall against me, my family, but do not destroy your people. That's a passion for us. The church is the bride of Christ. We don't want to do anything to harm the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. But then David says here, wait a minute, God, can I talk to you? I mean, I'm the king right here. Can I just express this? God, I messed up. They don't deserve this. So God had to get his attention. Can you imagine? How do you get the attention of King David? He sends a prophet to him. A prophet delivers the truth. And so Gad is sent by God to David. And he's told very specifically, here's what I want you to do. Okay, here's the deal. I hear your heart on this, but I want you to build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arana, the Jebusite. Okay, so that's what he did. So David goes and he tells Arana that he wanted to buy his threshing floor and offer a sacrifice to God right there. And it's a very fascinating story here because, remember, again, David was so influential. He was the king. I mean, this is just crazy. And so the guy responds, Arana responds the way you'd expect him to. I'm going to buy your threshing floor for a sacrifice. What does Arana say? This is on the house, man. You're the king. Are you kidding me? This is on the house. There's no way I'm going to let you pay me for this. And you're going to do a sacrifice for God? No way I'm charging you for this. David said, let me be a little clearer about this. 2 Samuel 24:24. He said, no, here's the deal. I insist on buying it. I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord, or to the Lord my God, that have cost me nothing. Again, sacrifice, giving up something we love for something we love even more. If you haven't done that, it's really not a sacrifice. It might be a nice gesture, but there's a cost involved when you give up something you really love. Say, okay, God, you're calling me here, and I love you even more. I'm in. That's the vision for us, and we see this lived out with his life there. And so my question is, you're following Christ. Does it cost you anything? Is it, well, we can find some leftover things in the house. You know, we take up a lot of, we take a lot of gifts for lots of people, deliver to under-resourced people quite often. And, you know, we often say, you know, don't bring your old used up stuff. Go buy some new stuff and bring that to give to the people, right? Okay? And that's the idea. It costs you something, and it's valuable. It's significant. It's authentic. And so you do that. In other ways, you follow Christ. Okay, God, help me to overcome these habits. God, help me to overcome that with your strength. God, help me not to be self-destructive, but to be self-sacrificed, self-surrendering to you. And parents who are in the point in the center, can I just say a word to you? I hope that you teach your kids about this principle of sacrifice, generosity, because they won't learn it anywhere else. Like if you support one of the children who needs support in the countries where we participate, and you kind of sponsor those children, don't just do that yourself. Talk about it as a family. Pray for that child on that picture. Every time you send a check together, you sit together as a family and pray for that child. Involve them in that process, okay? Or years ago, remember you went to church, if you were raised going to church, mom, dad gave you the offering, here's your offering, now get, you know, go. So, okay, got your offering. Hey, that's fine. Much better, though, to give an allowance. Say, now how are you going to manage what you have? So you teach them to put the first 10% off the top. We're going to give that to God. And then here's 10% that we're going to put aside for the future. You never know. Let's just start saving. And the 80%, as things open up, you decide what you're going to do with that. You know how much, what kind of a gift you're giving your child if you teach them that out of the gate? They won't have to struggle the way many of us did. They won't have to unlearn bad teaching from the world in this regard. And so involve them in that. Help them to grow in that, to experience that potential of the blessing of God. Do you understand? When you don't teach your child generosity, you actually are cheating them from experiencing the blessing that comes sometimes only because you sacrifice. Our kids who go to these places and minister, man, make sure your kids are a part of it. In this church, it's a culture where you have chances all the time to go in difficult places or opportunistic places to reach out to people. You be involved in that, but have your kids involved in that. You only get one shot at this. And God has placed you here for a reason, and so we put some things together, but we need you to carry those things out. And this church is very active doing that. So it's a high culture of serving. So this is not like complaining about it because we don't do it. You guys are really all over it. But we want everybody to understand the joy of that and experience the passion of that. Paul went through sacrifice. Oh my goodness, he gave up his freedom and all kinds of other things just for preaching the good news about Christ. Philippians 1 verse 12, he writes this to them. You know, I just want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, everything that has happened to me, and they knew all he had been through, I mean bad stuff, it's helped to spread the good news. Everybody here, including the whole palace guard, knows I'm in chains here because of Christ. They know I'm here because I tell about Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and they boldly speak now God's message without fear. It wouldn't have happened if he'd ended up in prison. And he just recognizes it. I never would have met these people. And so God, is this where you want me to be? I'll be here. And he enjoyed his freedom. But yet he also was willing to offer himself, whether I'm free or in jail, whether I live or I die, I'm yours. So I give it to you, God. And so he talks about doing that and others in speaking the message because they've seen it lived out in his life. And he's not complaining here that he's in prison. Again, he tells us at the end of this, it's an opportunity for him. And so just begin to pray your prayers in a similar kind of way. And like I said before, it's not the big sacrifice you're looking for. Whoa, that's the big one. No, it's just the everyday lifestyle, little ways. When there's a chance for you to do something, you just do it. No applause, no fanfare. You just do it because it has become who you are. That's the goal. Pray that God will move you in that direction. Lifestyle. Jesus said this in Matthew 25. Verse 23, you've been faithful in handling the small amount here, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. And that's just the way it works. The more diligent we are in the small opportunities, he will often widen more opportunities for us as we surrender to him. I need to say one more thing to you. People have been around for a while know this is how we roll here, but I'll just kind of tell you this other piece about us as a church. As your pastor here, I have to decide many times, where will I place the value before I'm going to preach something? So, I think a lot of people are not going to like this message. But you say, this is the deal. I'm going with God. I hope you don't mind. Now, don't raise your hand, but have you ever sat in the car after church and went, I just don't agree with that? Look this way. I don't care. Just so God says, you spoke the truth, hopefully in love, okay? And, you know, it's not always easy to do. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone, but there are churches that are dropping like flies all over this nation. They don't have the courage to speak what God has said. And it's like, what are the polls saying? What do the people feel? What's the strongest opinion here? I want to be liked. That drives you. That's not sacrifice. That's protecting me. It's all about me. And if that's the deal, get out of the business of talking for the Lord, okay? He wants you to be all in. That's why Jesus so often talked about, take up your own cross. Or you're not worthy to deliver this message. Be willing to pay those prices, okay? And then when that defining moment happens, you'll know and they'll know. You're united. And the world will know of Christ because you're drawn as one with other people, even if you have to sacrifice. Now, I couldn't wait to get to the most important thing for me is a letter from a couple in our church. I asked Zach and Haley Baker if they would send me a note about their little journey here. Now, let me just set it up for you. They went on a mission trip. We have lots of folks on mission trips here. They went to the Balkans. About a month after they went on a mission trip to the Balkans, now they're back in the Balkans for life. So within a month, they decided they need to go back and give their lives there. She's a teacher. He's a counselor. So I said, would you write me a note? How'd you get through that process? That's crazy. How'd that work? And so Haley wrote this to us. Well, Zach and I, she said, we've always had a heart for missions and God's global kingdom. Before we were married, we each went on separate mission trips. We just kind of knew at some point we thought we would probably do that. We didn't know where or when or what that would look like. But then we were married and we had children and life happened. And we had debts and all kinds of other immediate crises. And so we just kind of got off point there for a while. Well, this past year, we both individually just felt God stirring at our hearts to move in the direction of missions, reaching other people and other cultures who need to hear the message we take for granted in this life. And so let's take some steps toward that vision. And so they prayed about that. They went to a group we had at the church here with Dan and Connie Crum. He's our global impact director. They were 25 years in Kenya. So they had kind of a conversation with anybody who wanted to come and talk about missions and how God works and leads us in that way. So they went to the class. She said, after meeting with the group, we just felt we were a good place to start would be the short-term mission trip. We'd do that together, and we prayed about it, and we felt God was calling us to go on the sports trip to the Balkans. So we continued to pray about that, that God would use the trip to make it very clear where he was calling us and to what he was calling us. Well, during the trip to the Balkans, we realized this was the place when we got there. The people don't know who Jesus Christ is. So many of these children, they don't even know who Christ is. It's a dark place here, but there's no light. They don't have the light of Christ that's upon them, and so it's dark. And so they desperately need to hear about that. And so that trip just put faces and names on this burden for people around the world who didn't know Jesus Christ. And so we came home. We kept praying. We kept asking God for wisdom. Where do you want us to go, God? What are you calling us to do? We stayed up late one night, and we planned out our lives. Haley writes, I like to plan. She said, I like all the details. What, when, where, how. And we're clicking that off pretty good, pretty much all night. But then there was a place when it took a whole different direction. We stopped and said, wait a minute. These are our plans, God. It has to be your ways, not ours. Your plan, not ours. So we ask God, would you make it clear, Lord, what you want? They're desperate for answers. They're basically praying, talking about it all night long. And so the next morning, they receive an email asking if some of you would come back to the Balkans to teach here and to lead and to counsel. Game over. God had spoken clearly. She writes, as crazy as it sounded, we knew God had heard our hearts and answered those prayers. She says this to all of us now from her heart. Listen, you don't need to have it all figured out. Relax. He's just asking you, take a step, some step of faith. Maybe take a short-term mission trip. Because on that trip, it'll show you different things you've never seen before or thought about before. Take that step. If we wouldn't have, we would have missed this opportunity, this lifelong opportunity and calling, if we hadn't gone just the one time. So you hear that? That's a price. But she's not regretting it. They're thrilled with that. So it's a partnership, absolutely. There's a price involved, you bet. But it only can come from one place. Number three, it has to come from love. If somebody says, you've got to do this, that's not sacrifice. If you're guilted into it, that's not sacrifice. It's when, no, you can't stop doing it. because you've heard and seen about Christ, and you have to share that with somebody else on your heart. And I just want to say, I really hope for every single person, no exceptions. I have no idea about your journey, perhaps, but in the point and the center, at some point, you will go on a short-term mission trip. You've thought about it, just decide you're going to do it. Begin to pray about it. The opportunities will come, and you'll have an idea, probably, where you can serve. It may be a trip within the States, it may be locally here, it may be in our nation somewhere, it may be in a different country. But you'll develop, what will happen is, you'll develop a love for people you didn't even know before, and you'll probably be praying for them for the rest of your life, and may end up doing life with them for the rest of your life. You just never know what God has for you. And I know some of you are saying, it's physically impossible for me to travel, I cannot do that, and that's true. But you still can be a partner in the sending and the praying of those who are going, and be a big part of that. And so the simple question is, what really would happen in the life of this church and needs of people all over the world if every single one of us saw ourselves as just ordinary people, but used by God to really bless other people in supernatural ways? What would happen? If we began to, that were the dream of our hearts, what would happen? And I pray that God will begin to cultivate that dream in every one of us. Paul concludes in verse 18, you know, whether these people, they're responding here, whether their motives are false or genuine, I really don't know, he said that. The message about Christ, I know this, it's being preached either way. So I rejoice in that. And I'm going to continue to rejoice. Next verse. There we go. Because I know, as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance or freedom. For I fully expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. I'll never be ashamed. But that I'll continue to be bold for Christ as I've been in the past. And I'll trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or whether I die. Now he's talking about, you know, I may die in here. He understands it. So I hope I'm ready. And I just want that to be what God wants it to be in the time he wants it to be. Back in the first chapter, again, a good bookend here, verse 12, where Paul said, I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, that everything that's happened to me, he's saying, it's helped to spread the good news of Christ. I mean, he recounts in the scriptures, he was shipwrecked, he was flogged within an inch of his life, he was beaten, he was stoned, he's in a prison cell right now, he'll die there, but he says, you know what, is this what it takes to get the message out? I'm all in. God decides that. Pastor Jack Graham gave a perspective, preaches in Prestonwood Church in Dallas. He said this, faith, oh yeah, that's risky, but unbelief is deadly. You want to take a risk? You want to try not having life, real life. Well, Jesus mentions no words about this either. Throughout his teaching, Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said this, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, your plan, your little plan, your little schedule, and you take up your cross. God, what do you want me to do? Surrender to you. And then follow me. And if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give it up for my sake, you'll find it. You'll save it. He's not messing around, is he? It really is kind of crystal clear. There's no gray in this one. It's either this way or that way. And so if the church will continue to be a healthy church and a unified church, it will be a sacrificing group of people as a church. And God's not opposed to our comfort. Is it wrong to pray for comfort? No. Scripture is full of comfort and peace from God. And he's not against that, but at the same time, you shouldn't be driven your whole life about just being comfortable, just what I want, what is manageable for us. It's when you say, no, I'm doing this for God. That's a whole different thing, and that's what I hope the Spirit is appealing to your heart today. Verse 21, Paul says, as he begins to prepare, he's going to die. He says, you know what? To me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even going to be better. You ever been with somebody who died who believed that? I wonder if you have. You never forget it. You see them so at peace. I mean, they really know they're going to something much better. And you may not be able to see it because you're hurting so desperately you don't want them to go. And you may be praying, Lord, they can't go yet. And God is saying, I'm ready for them. And the person, if they could speak, would say, please let me go. God, we want what you want with us and those in our lives. And I have no idea what God is laying on your heart in this very moment. I do know this. He wants you to sacrifice in some kind of way, the small ways. Think, God, help me to learn to make this a lifestyle. Maybe intentionally along the way, there's some ways I'm going to sacrifice. But then in time, you do it intentionally for a while, and suddenly it becomes a natural thing that flows from you. And you wonder, how did I get here? How did I live life without being all in like this? There were seven sayings that Jesus spoke, according to most historians and scholars, when he was on the cross. Jesus was on the cross for six excruciating hours. Only said seven statements. They all agree on the last statement, which was, it is finished. It is accomplished. Three English words. The Greeks, it's one word. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. Finished. Okay? Accomplished. Done. Game, set, match. Get you? It's done. Now, what's fascinating about that word, tetelestai, they've actually discovered among business records in ancient documents the word tetelestai on some old business records. Business stuff. What's the deal? Well, somebody had a service rendered. They had a debt they owed to the business. They paid their debt, and the business stamped on it the word tetelestai. One word. Tetelestai. Do you understand? If you entrust your life to Him now and forever, when you meet God face to face, you're going to be like me, like Isaiah. You're not going to run up and grab Him. You're going to probably have your eyes down. Lord, you know, I'm not holy, God. You are. I can't even be in your presence. And God, you know everything about me, my heart, my mind, my motives. You know all of it. No, and God's going to say, no. He might have to get down and pull your little chin up. Say, tetelestai. It's just paid. It's accomplished. Your debt is freed. I don't even see your sin. Come enjoy your master's happiness. Because you entrusted your life to him. You accepted his sacrifice for your life. And then hopefully tried to follow him and sacrifice for him and other people. So that one day you rejoice in his presence forever and forever. And so Paul says in Romans 8, verse 1, now there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You've had the thought in the past, you would dread facing God. Boy, I hope you see that differently. People sometimes say, if I walk in that church building, the walls will come down. I know what they mean when they say that. But they say, here, if you feel sinful, you belong. You say, my world's a mess. You belong. It's a matter of defining our mess, but every one of us have it. We know some of the stories. We don't know all the stories. What we do know is his grace is greater than every one of our mess as well. The only thing he won't forgive is rejecting Christ as Savior and Lord, and that's the unforgivable sin. Bring all the rest of his broken pieces to him. No condemnation in Christ. So next week we'll talk about what it is to follow him with our lives. Real exciting announcement about our future as a church. And then the next week we're going to have a baptism weekend. It's about our identity. So when we serve the Lord in a unified way, he actually becomes our identity. It's who we are. And many of you are new in your journey, or you've never been baptized in water. It's kind of going public with your faith. Many of you have thought about doing it for a long time. So in that week, we'll have everything prepared. Great celebration. People always say my favorite weekends are the baptism weekends. There's nothing like seeing visibly somebody coming and surrendering, getting into the water. Do you sacrifice, by the way, when you go into the water and are baptized? Yeah. It's the one time people come up out of the water and nobody says, how do I look? How's my hair? For once, you sacrifice your appearance. It doesn't matter. For the one time in your life, you don't care how you look. You just want him to look and see your heart. Breaks it down. It's a great equalizer, you know? And I think in a small way, it's just indicative of the life he calls us. He died for us. We're to die for him. He's resurrected for us, so we'll be resurrected with him as we live for him. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Kind Father, this is not one of these messages where we say, I think I want to go listen to that again. That's just the truth. Yeah, I mean, we need encouragement. We do need encouragement. We need hope. We need practical advice on our relationships. And we address all those things regularly together, but we also need to hear you today. The whole counsel of God, those last steps that are the hardest sometimes to hear, let alone begin to live out. But this thing of sacrifice is not for just the missionary somewhere around the world. This sacrificing is not just for those who are called into full-time ministry. A sacrificing is not just for people who have a lot of money. I need to give that to people. This is for every single follower of Christ. Jesus said, unless you take up your cross, follow me, you are not my disciple. So you've told us they'll know we're Christians by our love for others and for you, but also by our still love as seen through that we're willing to sacrifice for others and for you. So God, may we speak that truth in love until we one day are with you in your presence. We don't know how long we get at this thing, but we want to make the most of every opportunity. So God, change, redirect our lifestyles. God, I'm just impressed right now. I don't really know how to pray about this. Suddenly it just hits me though. For some, this message maybe was kind of difficult. I don't know, hard to hear, maybe tired or whatever. But just maybe, God, there are some people in the point in the center and they feel the Holy Spirit whispering to them, come on. Take a step. Take a risk. And just maybe some will say, you know, that moment defined our lives. And so, God, I just pray that we'll stop long enough to allow you to speak to us what we need to hear. You've already empowered us with your Spirit to do what you call us to do. And so, God, use us for your honor and glory to break down the walls, outside these walls, that all will know that we are Christians by that love. And we pray in the mighty name of Christ. Everybody said,